With you, what a privilege it is, and yet I would have called it a privilege just to sit in the back row and listen in too. I told people I'm a good listener. I always try to stay awake in church, and because this is life to me, you know. I had to marvel that you have the lights on this morning. You know, I thought you'd have them on off on this day. It's Earth Day. I don't know if you caught on to that or not. It's a big thing in Canada. You turn the lights off for an hour or whatever to preserve this this earth. You know, this is how you preserve the earth. Really? I think when we get to know what the Lord's Day is all about, that'll preserve more than switching your lights off or maybe gathering a few big pieces of garbage on this day. That's what the world looks at. You know, they got to get this world at a better place. And this world isn't going to get any better. And yet we're called to be good stewards too. When I don't throw garbage out in the road, I think that's rude, you know. I think those things we shouldn't do, you know. I mean, an apple core, crow might like that. But something in plastic, no, I don't. I think keep your highways good, clean. And I'm... When I say that, we had a man at the cabin this past week, and he said they were from New York, liberal U.S. No, we're just as liberal. But he said, I'm a tree hugger. And I almost said, go for it. We've got a big wall up there. Give it all you got. You know, I mean, if that's what's going to make life good. I mean, yeah, he said he's also a liberal. So I thought, yeah, that goes together. Yeah, goes together. But praise God, we've got something more this morning to talk about than Earth Day, you know. We do. We've got something to live for, and we already heard it in the part of the service this morning. I was blessed by that already. This morning, I want to include you in the title of the message. One word, only one word that is found in the Bible, and that's the title of my message. What is it? Anybody? Just to get you awake, you know. That's okay. Don't feel embarrassed. I would have never gotten it either. It's Rabboni. That's the title of my message this morning. And we're in the time 3 weeks ago when we celebrated the Lord's resurrection. And now we're in between the Bible, between the resurrection and the ascension. Both very important events. But I'd like to look this morning at a person that was along at the crucifixion, on through the resurrection, and on the day after. And a very interesting part is when we look at this whole scene, a lot happened the first day of the resurrection. Very little is mentioned. And yes, Jesus went, the disciples went fishing, a few things between there and the ascension. But most of the things mentioned in the New Testament about the resurrection, it happened the day after. A very inspirational when you start piecing that all together. We won't cover all of that this morning. But that's very, very many interesting things happened. And first of all, we look at the stone that was rolled away. You know, that stone was not rolled away from the tomb so Christ couldn't get out. I believe he was out before the stone rolled away. But the angels saw fit and the God saw fit to have that stone rolled away so that these women and whoever was there could look inside and say, he is not there. He is resurrected. And through that, it still gives us a hope this morning of a resurrected Lord. You can believe whatever you want to this morning, whatever religion you have, but there is no resurrected Lord for them. And we have a resurrected Lord. And that should put inspiration into our hearts this morning to think that we can serve a living God. And he wants us to have that life within us too when we believe in the resurrected Christ. Matthew chapter 28, verses 1 to 10. It says in these verses, it is written thus, it says, in the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and behold, he goeth before you into Galilee, and there ye shall see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear, with great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, all hail. And he came and held them by the feet and worshipped him. Then said Jesus unto them, be not afraid, go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. What beautiful words. But you look at the scene that was happening here. It says there, these were all scenes that were accounted by people that saw it, people that experienced it. And it says the earthquake. There was a great earthquake. The whole city felt that earthquake. Don't kid yourself this morning. And it says the Roman soldiers became as dead men. And I believe those tough men, whatever they were doing before, gambling for the robe of Jesus Christ and mocking him, they came white in the face as they saw the power of God fall there afresh upon them. They saw the angels descend from heaven, and all the military men today, and all the U.S. military, and the Russian military, Chinese military, all of those would take note if an angel would come from heaven, and they would all be as dead men, as it were. When they see the power of God transform as they did back here, and you have to realize here, there are a few women that were seeing all of this. They were experiencing all of this. Their heart must have beat fast. The tremors, the earthquake. Yes. Matthew 27, 51, it says, and behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent, and the graves were open, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves after his resurrection, and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. Now when the centurion and they that were with him watching Jesus saw the earthquake and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, truly, this was the Son of God. You have to realize there were two earthquakes here. There was an earthquake when Jesus gave his life. Nobody took his life. He gave his life. And there was a great earthquake there. And then at the resurrection, there was another great earthquake. This was starting to get shaky ground. Couple of days in a row. This wasn't, and here there were people that were experiencing this. They saw it. And then something beautiful happened here. There were some people, some saints, it says, that were resurrected. I was blessed by that. I've never, you'll likely talk about that this afternoon. You might have all the answers. But the scripture doesn't give much clue on what happened to them. It doesn't say, I'll give you my point of view. But it says that after Jesus was resurrected, there were saints resurrected in Jerusalem, and they walked the streets of Jerusalem and appeared unto many. It doesn't give much detail. But I believe this morning, you would believe in a resurrection if you saw Uncle Mose and whoever meeting him in the center square. Yeah. You think twice. What has happened, you know? What happened to them? Did Jesus just give them a bit of fresh air, as it were, and say, you're going to go back down again? No, I don't believe that. I don't believe that of our Lord. I believe They were around Jerusalem until Christ resurrected to glory. He said, come on up with me. You know, that's what I firmly believe. I don't think they had to die again and go through that mess. No. There was hope. He resurrected them. Nobody saw them wiggle out of the tomb, and nobody saw them or send into heaven, but this gives you a little bit of a preview of what the church saints will experience in the future, I believe. Yeah, and it could be soon, and it could be soon. Yeah. Let's go back again to the crucifixion. We see all the mocking here at Christ on the cross by the religious leaders in Matthew 27, verses 41. It says, likewise, also the chief priests, mocking him with the scribes and elders, said, he saved others, himself he cannot save. If he be the king of Israel, let him now come down from the cross. Do you see that slander coming in? And we will believe him then? Oh, yes, sure. He trusted in God. Let him deliver him now if he will have him. For he said, I am the Son of God. And the thieves also, which were crucified with him, cast the same in his teeth, as it were. And we could read on what happened there. Isn't it something? These soldiers, they sat around gambling for his garment. The religious and the political have come together to mock this same Jesus. And again, that is happening in our day. We see the religions of the world coming together and the political coming together. Take note, it's happening. History repeats itself again and again. But however, through all this turmoil, there were a few women that saw these things happen. They experienced it. Must have been horrendous. They weren't right up at the cross. It says they stood a little further off, because right around the front you had those Roman soldiers, and they wouldn't have been good company to be with, to say the least. But there were people that were looking on. This man that was hanging on the cross. The apostles, they saw their dreams finally diminishing, as it were. They had political hopes for freedom from the Romans and so forth. And they were gripped by fear. You know, if we identify with this man on the cross, will we be the next to be on there? Very likely. So they start moving off. Scripture says they finally left. Verses 55 to 56 of the same chapter. It says, and many women were there beholding afar off, which followed Jesus from Galilee, ministering unto him. Among them was Mary Magdalene, and Mary the mother of James, and Joseph, and the mother of the Zebedee's children. We can only imagine a little bit what went through the heart of the mother of Jesus. Just a little bit, not much. Because that's something you cannot grasp with. But she was there. She was there, and she heard those words when Jesus called out to God, and he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? That spoke of a relationship between Jesus and God. And then he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That was the mission why Jesus came, to forgive people. Forgive those that were going to push the spear in his side. Father, forgive them. And his mother and Mary Magdalene were there. And they heard those words. And then to the thief beside him he said, verily I say unto you, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. That speaks of the divine love of God. The one that cursed him a few minutes before,
now saw his need, and he said, today, today, you can be with me in paradise.
And then he looked down on his mother, and he said, woman, behold thy son. I'm hanging here on the cross, as it were. But remember the birth. This was different. I am Son of Man, and I'm a Son of God. Remember. Remember when I was 12 years old. You know, I told you about my mission. Remember those things, Mother. Yeah. And the list could go on. And then he looks over to John and said, behold, thy mother. That speaks of responsibility. Yeah. Yeah. He had a concern for his mother. He said, John, take care of her. I won't be able to minister over this time. You do it for me. And then he said a few words. He said, I thirst. I thirst. And that spoke about his humanity. His humanity. And then those last words which he gave, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And that shows that he was God, man. Nobody else can do that. But he said, my time is not up. I'm going to give my spirit. These people aren't taking it on me. No, I'm giving it. It shows the power of God, who he was. And here, his mother was looking. Mary Magdalene were looking. They heard the words that he spoke. That must have cut deep to the heart of these two ladies and the apostles. This was getting a little too hard to handle. You know, this was an awful time to be in. The horror they saw. Jesus was unrecognizable as he hung on that cross. If they would not have known him before, they would not have known him as the one they followed, according to the words of God. Yeah. Just tell you a little bit, brethren, here this morning. The disciples loved Jesus, but they didn't know how to act in a time of such cruciating pain. And to this day, it's the sisters that make better nurses. They could stand afar off. Yes, they were cut to the core, as it were, from what they all saw. But they have something deep within, from sisters, from blowing on a little boy's finger. Yeah. Some of us, brethren, we can blow. Either we blow too hard or not hard enough. I don't know. But there's a connection there. Let's be realistic. They know how the right touch is. And it's the sisters oftentimes that will put on a wet cloth as a person is ebbing on into eternity, whatever, on his forehead, you know, maybe to cool his forehead or whatever it may be. The sisters are a little closer than the men. Yeah. They were back here already. Yes, they were. In Matthew 27, 55, I believe I read those verses, and it says, and many women were there beholding afar off, which followed Jesus from Galilee, ministering unto him. And then it specifically mentions Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, and so forth. These women followed Jesus, and they ministered unto him, it says. Like maybe they made his meals, maybe they washed his clothes, but I believe something far richer than that yet. It says
They ministered unto him. They encouraged him. As they were traveling towards Jerusalem, Jesus also was a man, and it was not a joy to face the cross. In his speech, I'm sure they recognized, and even he told them, I'm going to die someday. The Mary, the mother, and Magdalene, really? How can this be possible? While the brethren were wandering about the politics, like the brethren were worrying about who's going to be the greatest in heaven, you know, where do we all fit in? Yeah. It says women, they were ministering to him. You know. Who was doing the greater work with Mary and Martha? Martha was running about, you know, and she was cumbered with much serving, the scripture says. You know, like getting the spider webs all cleaned up, whatever it took to have Jesus there with them. But Mary has chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. Women who are supporters of the Word of God encouraged Jesus Christ in his mission. They were there for him. They were likely wept when Jesus wept. And we would say, how can you minister to this morning? Those of you who are awake are ministering to me. And I trust a little bit vice versa. We minister together as we come together. That is what a church service should be. When the presence of God is felt, that we are here to minister to God, he to us, and we to each other. And of course, you can only minister if you're awake. Yeah, that's right. Otherwise, you might as well stay home. We minister. And I believe this is where the ladies, they ministered to him. They were there. They didn't have all the right answers and the right words, but they were there. They were listening to what he was saying. They were trying to apply it to their lives that this is the Messiah. There was one woman in the crowd that was mentioned throughout the crucifixion, the burial, and the resurrection. Yeah. And it was Mary Magdalene who was first mentioned in Luke chapter 8. We'll be coming back to Matthew here. But in Luke chapter 8, this Mary Magdalene is first mentioned in verses 1 to 3. And it came to pass afterward that he went throughout every city and village, preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God, and the 12 were with him. And certain women, which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Mary Magdalene, out of whom went 7 devils, and Joanna, the wife of Joses, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others, which ministered unto him of their substance. They also provided for him, you know. Many different ways you can do that. It is written that she had 7 devils, or demons. And most Bible scholars say this is not the same woman that came to Jesus with an alabaster box in the previous chapter here. And I agree. Pope Gregory the Great, in around 500 BC, said that this Mary Magdalene, she was a prostitute. That's not what the scripture says of this Mary. And since, of course, the movies have made it look that Mary was Jesus' girlfriend and so forth. I believe there's a new movie coming out again that they say is portraying to that. She was none of this, none of that. But it says she had 7 demons, 7 of them. 7 is usually the perfect number. 7 is called a perfect number, but there is nothing perfect when it has to do with 7 demons this morning. Not at all. It is written the women had sickness and evil spirits, and oftentimes these go together. Oftentimes, sick people are open to occultic practices like homeopathic medicine and much of alternative medicines and practices. Watch that. It can oftentimes go together.
But Mary was specifically mentioned with seven demons, and we can go to Luke chapter 8, verses 26 to 40. It says, I won't, for lack of time, I won't go into that. Well, we'll just go over it. We know the story of the Gadarene, the man of the Gadarenes. We know his, as he lived among the tombs, he was a violent and an evil man, and he was filled with demons. And of course, Jesus came to him, and these demons asked Jesus, have you come before your time? They knew there's accountability coming someday. Have you come before your time? And Jesus confronted him and said, what is thy name? And he said, they said, my name is Legion. And a legion in the Roman army was 6,000 soldiers. And be that as it is, this man had many, many demons. And when the demons were cast out, the results were found in verse 35. It says here, and they went out to see what was done to this Gadarene man that had the demons, and came to Jesus and found the man out of whom the devils were departed, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. What a tremendous verse of a man that got in touch with Jesus. First of all, before he was running around, he was cutting himself and they couldn't tie him up. Even here he was sitting relaxed at Jesus' feet. I had no greater desire than to be there and to hear the word. Demons, he was filled with demons. Same demons as Mary Magdalene also had. Number two, he was clothed. And I'll go on to say for any born-again believer this morning, immodesty is not an issue for a person who has been changed. That's right. In some of our churches, we have to constantly work on some people. Well, I say, if you're really born again and washed in the blood of the Lamb, this is not going to be an issue. No. Not if you're clothed and in your right mind. Number three, he had his right mind. A mind controlled by the Spirit of God instead of the devil. 2 Timothy 1:7, it says, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And that means a mind that can think sensibly. A mind that makes common sense oftentimes. You know, Earth Day doesn't even make common sense. It's becoming a religion and so forth. For the Gadarene man, the change was so great and miraculous that it brought fear on all the onlookers. Something miraculous had happened. And still today, still this morning, from a sinner to a saint is still the greatest of miracles. And it still creates a controversy. Yeah. And thus it was for Mary Magdalene. The name means Mary of Magdala, which was a city of that time. That's how they used their names. They always added something on the back. And in fact, names are very interesting. The Bible had a message one time of different names. And I went on to say, I think we should name our children so we know that what they're, if they're a boy or a girl. Any amens? That's my personal feeling. And I mentioned it that you're talking about opposition. And I mentioned that our government, Bill 87, I believe it was, that they mentioned that if my son goes to school and from that day on he decides he wants to be Sally instead of John or whatever, that's his privilege. And if you parents interfere, then they have the right to come and take your children. That's law. It has been passed. You know, all of these things aren't enforced until the right time. But we're living in treacherous times, friend. And I said that thing that morning, and we had a couple there from out of the area, Mennonite. And so we were at the same place for lunch. We were friends before. We're still friends, I think. Yeah. But she confronted me. She said she doesn't agree with me. I said, really? She said, at least until they're 4 years old, they don't know what they are. Well, I said, I can tell them what they are. Well, no, she said, they have to make their own decision. I said, really? The Bible says it's male and female. That's it. And she was offended by me, really offended. So I'll go on to just, I'm off the track here. But anyway, she said, well, you know, one out of 1,000 is like that. And then she brought it back to one out of 100, so it was going the right direction, but never got to the point. But isn't it strange that a four-year-old has the right to make that decision? And of course, once you're 7, 8 years old, you can start going to the doctor and get your hormones needles already. That's right. But a child can't cross the road by themselves out here at the highway without having some, guards to, you know, you can help them across. They have to be that until they're 14 years old. They can't cross the road by themselves because they can't see right, whether something's coming. But they can make a decision that's supposed to be for eternity? No. That's the era we're living in this morning. Very sad, sad thing. How did they get onto that? But anyway, we were... Okay, back to Mary. Yes. Mary Magdalene. Mary, it means Mary Magdala, which was a city at that time, and Gadal is meaning to be great, and means a city with a tower or a fortress, and also denotes the steadfastness of her faith. And that means after she came in touch with God, with Jesus Christ, and was changed, this is what her name really means. And with seven demons, she had none of these. She didn't have the right name yet at that time. And neither did she have the fruit of the Spirit. The other week in our cabin was a daughter and a mother. And the mother mentioned that her daughter did not sleep good that night because she was so terrified. They had to sleep together because she was so terrified because they were watching a horror movie. I said, yeah, I believe so. I'd like even be afraid to sleep alone, you know. And when you're doing those things, you're opening yourself to the demonic world. Yeah. The music, the things they then see, is opening yourself to the demonic world. And then we ask the question, how come do some people in our circle not rise up to victory? Is it because they're still attached to those things, which the ministry may not know, whatever else? But there's victory this morning for the child of God. Yes, it is. Indeed, it is. Get to Jesus. If he can cleanse Mary Magdalene up, he can cleanse you and me up. Praise God this morning. There is a positive note. But Galatians 5, we'll be coming back to these verses sometime yet. Galatians 5, verses 22 and 23, it talks about the fruit of the Spirit. And this is what it is. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and the lust. It's such a big difference from verse 19 to 21. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murderers, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, at the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Very clear. In verse 22, is such a big difference. And Mary Magdalene, with her seven demons, did not have the Holy Spirit. Number one, she had not love. She could only love if others loved her first. You get it? Yeah.
That's how come we need our selfies. You know, I need a selfie to send off to my 100 different friends when I walk into Lakeview. I'm here this morning, you know. Yeah, look pretty good, right? Really? Yeah. Lord, help us. I can worship here without the whole world knowing it. You know? But that's the fruit of the Spirit I'm talking about. Mary did not have the fruit of the Spirit before she came to Jesus Christ. In fact, I want to say this, godly love is more powerful than any demon. Number two, joy. She did not have the joy of the Holy Spirit. Quickly depressed, terrified of death, and yet hating life, possibly. Yeah. U.S. and Canada, I don't think are going to go down by a war with Russia. Or a war with China, but we're going to destroy ourselves from within. Last year, 142,000 people committed suicide by drug overdoses. 142,000 in the U.S. alone. If a person cuts his finger off on a job site, they shut the whole company down because this is serious. Friends, this is a lot more serious. It makes the Vietnam War look like nothing almost. You know, this is year after year and picking up speed. It's a major epidemic, you know. Number three, Mary Magdalene did not have peace. She heard of the rumors of wars back then already. She heard of the calamities. She saw the earthquakes. Of course, that was then afterwards. But she saw the earthquakes and whatever all happened before. Today, people are worried about finances, you know. We're not living in a good time when you look at the trillions, U.S. and 20 trillion U.S. That's not a good sign for economy. But Jesus said, get this. If you have the fruit of the Spirit, he said, I have a peace that I give unto you. And it's totally different than you'll find anywhere out there this morning. And that's the peace that the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit gives. And it's a fruit of the Spirit. Number four, long suffering. You know, people were laughing at Jesus coming back then, laughing ever since, and they're laughing more at his second coming. But he said, I'm not come because I'm long suffering. I want more people to hear the good news. More people have the privilege of coming to my kingdom. That's long-suffering. And Mary Magdalene did not have those characteristics when she was filled with the demon. No. Of course, many say he won't be coming. It's the long-suffering. It's also forbearing injury. And you know, of long suffering, it affects everyday relationships. And then the next one is gentleness. Mary did not have meaningful relationships. Not even trying to work things out if it isn't my way. It doesn't say these things about Mary, but about without the fruit of the Spirit, these things will come into play. Gentlewoman, gentleman, you know. Goodness, being generous, no. Reaching out in everyday needs. Mary likely didn't have that. No. Maybe dropping your tithe in the offering, you know, a way of being generous. Goodness, faith. Likely Mary, likely you know, with those seven spirits, didn't believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Having no hope if you die. And first of all, not saying that she was lost. And I believe too many in our circles today are going through the system, as it were, but never saw that they were really lost before God. You can go through Sunday school and praise God for that. But you can say the right things and never be changed. Meekness, again, similar to gentleness. Esteeming the other better than yourself. Temperance. no self-control. Romans, Paul writes about that, you know, and I believe Mary had that, Mary Magdalene. Doing the things I don't want to do and doing not the things I desire to do. Doing foolish things. Embarrassed again and again and again. Such was Mary Magdalene. However, Jesus took care of her needs and her sin. And this morning he can take care of ours. Praise the Lord this morning. Any amens? Yes, he can. He can. Mary was changed when she came to Jesus. Demons will always obey Jesus Christ. Life changed from darkness to light, from despair to joy. In Isaiah 61, the very words referring to Jesus Christ and why he came, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord hath anointed me to preach what? Good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. Mary Magdalene's heart was broken, I believe, before. Again and again, because she could not rise above her own self. And he said, Jesus said, wrote here, to proclaim liberty to the captives. She was held captive by those seven spirits, and she could not do what she wanted to do. And it says, the opening of the prison to them that are bound. Hallelujah this morning for a verse like that, that Jesus came forth to do in Mary Magdalene, and he came forth to do it in our lives, to free us and make us a people that can serve Jesus Christ. Jesus came for a person like Mary and for all of us. Yes, indeed. Is it any wonder that Mary loved Jesus at the cross? As the world was trying to kill Jesus, and the earth shook and the sky grew dark there when Jesus hung on Calvary's cross, and the Roman soldiers, they were gambling their time away. And here Mary looks on, and she likely thought, I've been forgiven much, and I love much. A big difference. Jesus died. Matthew 27, 57 to 61. When the even was come, there came a rich man of Arimathea named Joseph, who also himself was Jesus' disciple. He went to Pilate and begged the body of Jesus, and then Pilate commanded the body to be delivered. When Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it up in a clean linen cloth and laid it in his own new tomb, which he had hewn out of the rock, and he rolled a great stone to the door of the sepulchre and departed. Now the next verse, do you get it? Who was there? Who was there? One that loved much. And there was Magdalene, Mary Magdalene, and the other Mary sitting over against the sepulchre, as close as they could get. Sitting right there. Isn't that beautiful? She was right outside. The one who changed Mary's life was dead inside. Matthew 28:1-6. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, this was more than an ordinary day. This is why we still come together on the Lord's Day. And who came first? Came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, fear not, ye know, fear not ye, for I know that ye see Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said, come and see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and behold, he goes forth before you into Galilee, there shall ye see him, lo, I have told you. Tremendous words. Amid the earthquake, the singing of an angel, word gets around. And this struck me anew when I read this. The angel looked at Mary and Mary Magdalene. He said, I know why you're here. In plain words, he could have said, you love Jesus. That's how come you came. I know why you're here. But he is risen. He is risen. Go tell the others, you know, those men that, you know, where are they? Go tell them too. Maybe they'll finally get it. You know, this is for real. Yeah. Forget about the politics and the things and see what Christ came for to do. And the angel said, go with a message. Number one, they went with fear. I believe this was an awesome reverence that the two Marys went back. Number two, this joy was too good to be true. You know, sometimes we get a joy like that, not so often, but this is really, you know. Once in a while, it does us good to experience it sometimes. Sometimes we wish it more often. It's too good to be true. My mind isn't really, it isn't sinking in. It's I know it, and yet I can't believe it. Number three, it says, did run. Yeah. We know Mary went back. Let's go back a bit. I want to say this. If we've been in touch with the good news, we'll do all three of these. We'll have fear, we'll have joy, and we'll run. Spread the good news. We know Mary went back and got Peter and John stirred up a bit and, you know, come look at the empty tomb, and they left, and Mary came along behind. And Mary was alone when she came the second time. In John 20, in John 20, 11 to 18, but Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping. It seems here Mary did not go in the first time to look at the empty tomb. She just took off when the angel said, go, she took off. You know, this was quite an experience. Let's go. This time she came, and she looked in. Stood without at the sepulchre weeping, and as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre, and seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. When I read these verses, can you get the heartbeat? What Mary was going through. One that had changed her. One that she loved for the change that had taken place within. And he wasn't there. He wasn't there. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing and knew not that was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. She was forgiven much, but she loved much. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master, Master. Mary came to this tomb. Now what? He's gone, and her emotions took over.
This was the one that had set her free. And she met this man, these angels, or this gardener, she supposed, and he said unto her, Mary. Mary. It was the same tone of voice. Elijah commanded the spirits to leave her too. She knew the voice. Mary. She knew the voice of the resurrected one. Mary did not call him rabbi like so many other teachers try, or so many other people did in Jesus' ministry. Rabbi, you know, you've gone through the college, you've gone through the teaching degrees, you've got your minister's degrees and whatever else it took to be a teacher of that day. She said unto him, Rabboni. Rabboni! Only once in the Bible. But Rabboni is not an ordinary teacher. It is as a personalized tutor. For me. She said, my master, my teacher, my Lord, my God. This morning, does the empty tomb bring you from fear to joy, to action, to witness, because you, like Mary Magdalene, can say, Rabboni, Rabboni, in plain words, Jesus, you're my all, you're my everything. A personal teacher. This is different. He didn't need the degrees. He came personally for you and for me. May that be your desire this morning. And you can claim that, Rabboni. He came just to teach you, me. Shall we kneel for prayer?